Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two radicals came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. It is 9 o'clock on the East Coast and 8 o'clock is Central Time. I guess that's what Texas is on because Texas is so special, they got to have their own time zone. And we are here live on Facebook once again for the Raw Islam podcast with one of the hardest working imams that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings to all our listeners. We thank you for joining us tonight again for another episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar and Brother Carl. You know, it's going to come out. You'll see it. It's going to be added to the title itself. Thank you for coming with us, coming to be with us tonight. We got a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on. And it seems that we're turning into the nightly talk shows where jokes have been substituted with news and facts because the news and facts have now turned into jokes and a mockery. But nevertheless, fellow friends, there is a poll that has gone out. And in respect to that poll, I'm going to hand it back to Brother Carl so he could tell us exactly what it is that you, our listeners, wanted to speak about tonight. And I hope it is not candy corn. But I'll leave it to Carl.
No candy corn this week. It's unfortunately all business this week. So this week the poll went out, and I actually just realized I don't have a screenshot of that. Shoot, I wasn't that prepared tonight. But this week we sent the poll out, and this week the options were. Let me just pull it up here. I know I've got it. The options were loving your neighbor, helping the traveler, as a Muslim, can I vote, and are you actually going to eat that? Our two winners this week were, and the primary one with 46% of the votes is loving your neighbor. And I know when this poll was posted, you actually commented and you said, how about the shooting in Pittsburgh and Jewish Muslim relationships? And the Venn Network responded to you with that loving your neighbor is about the shooting in Pittsburgh and the shooting in the Kroger and these stupid pipe bombs that got mailed. That is loving your neighbor because we're here and those are our neighbors, whether they're Jewish or Muslim or Christian or no faith. Or I know I saw this on Twitter the other day that I think it was the Washington Post. That's what made it embarrassing. They posted a story about how Muslims were raising money to help the synagogue that happened in Pittsburgh. And the photo they used was of Sikhs.
Wow.
And you would expect more from the Washington Post, but apparently not this time. So, yeah. But our winner this week was loving your neighbor. And the second winner this week was caring for the traveler. And I'm going to go ahead and assume you know why I put that one in there. But there you go. How do we love our neighbor regardless of their faith?
Well, it's of course very sad times that we're living in our country and in our world where people resent one another, they despise one another to the extent that they're willing to harm each other. This is in addition to the pipe bomber from Florida who for some reason had a van in which he was producing these bombs and mailing them to notable influential individuals across the country because he didn't agree with them. We had the shooting in the synagogue, the 7 lives, injured 4 police officers, and I personally don't know what the fate of those officers are or if there are any more victims to be added to the tally itself. And of course, then we had the story that went under the rug, which was of a man who was approaching a black church to shoot up the church. But since the church was locked and he couldn't shoot anyone, he ended up going to Kroger's and shooting 2 African-American people. So the question is, what is wrong with us? We can talk about this for the next 3 hours or 6 hours. But the fact is, there are 2 ways of analyzing a problem. One is the reason why it happened, and one is what can prevent it from happening again. Some would say until you don't understand the reason, then you can't understand the correct approach. I beg to differ in some aspects with all due respect. Yes, by understanding the motives behind why a person did something, it may give you more support in understanding to pinpoint how to resolve the issue and prevent it from happening again. But right now, we don't need to pinpoint. We don't know. We don't need accuracy to the dot because we understand the direction it's pointing in, and that direction is our inability to understand our differences and people who are different, faiths that are different, ways of life that are different, practices which are different, colors which are different, languages which are different, sizes which are different, ages which are different, genders which are different, and the list could go on. Since we don't have the capacity within us as humans anymore to understand these things, we feel it's better for us to just confront the problem in a violent way rather than constructively take the problem out of ourselves. Now, Carl, let me just pull back on this. I was at a conference last week at SMU, which is a university close to downtown here in Dallas, and I can't forget the words that one of the speakers said. He said that, "I don't pray to God to change him. I pray to God to change me." All of us need to change ourselves. If you feel you could go out there and advocate and speak on behalf of anyone so that they can be understood, comprehended, respected, loved, and accepted in society, while you yourself haven't done the basics to acknowledge that and accept that yourself, you're fooling yourself. So I was just speaking to an individual here in my office tonight before we got onto the show. And just FYI, we have a program going on in the gymnasium right now, a STEMS program. We have a NASA scientist. She's here with us, an amazing individual, and we are thankful that she's here. Dr. Hashima Hassan is here. She is a program scientist for NASA. She just concluded her talk, and it's just an amazing thing that we are seeing lives develop and these young minds flourish. But the individual came to me for counsel before we started, asked me exactly that point. And I told them, how many of us, and I'll ask you all, how many of us know our 8 neighbors? 8 neighbors mean, i.e., the 3 houses in front of us, the 3 houses behind us, and the 2 to our right and our left. There are so many neighbors. Do we know their names? Or do we feel that we don't need to know their names? If we feel we don't need to know their name, there has to be a reason behind that. And after Hurricane Charlie hit us in 2004, it was one of the first times that we as a society in Punta Gorda and Fort Myers actually were pushed to go and know our neighbors. People who lived beside each other for 14 years, 4 years, 24 years, never spoke to their neighbor. Why? Because they felt the need wasn't there. This in itself was problematic. The need is there not because of a tragedy. The need is there because it's your human duty to look out for each other. And in looking out for each other, you create a system, a safety network. When you create a safety network where people accept and respect the differences, they can become a positive force against the ignorance and evilness which tends to fester in our society. They can uproot it. They can dissolve it. They can deplete it. They can finish it. They can crush it. It only happens when each of us gets to know our neighbors. Many people haven't entered a synagogue until this last Sunday or Monday, as we are seeing vigils and speeches and prayers going on in religious places such as synagogues or in open parks. Now we're getting to meet someone from the Jewish faith. We're getting to meet someone who's not like ourselves. So the biggest problem I'm trying to address is, do not be comfortable with yourself and your people or people with same ideas, ideologies, or ways like yourself. Reach beyond that. Breach those boundaries. Reach out of that box and understand that it's in connecting with others that you will give yourself respect by giving others respect. Before I hand it back to Carl, an incident that happened at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when the bier of a Jewish man or boy was actually crossing the street. It was going towards the cemetery, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, got up and he cried. And some of his companions said, he's Jewish. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, responded, isn't he from my people? I.e., for those Muslims that feel that Islam means only Muslims and Muslims exclusively, it's like a VIP club. No, it's not. If our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us that there is no boundaries and limits when it comes to humanity, all human beings are to be cared for and loved, regardless if they accept your way of life or they reject it, you need to know each other. And I can promise you, Carl, this is just the beginning of many more tragedies that our country and our world will continue to face until or unless you and I do what needs to be done by creating an understanding, by introducing ourselves, conversing, and thus loving our neighbors. Imagine if 7 billion people right now just went out to their neighbors, each one meeting the other because they are inclined towards doing it, not because of tragedy, because it's a moral thing to do. They are reaching out of those cocoons and bubbles. Those butterflies are now emerging. Those colors are brightening up the skies. That mesmerizing wings flapping is making our world a better place. You have to do it, and we have to do it now.
And I will do what I normally do at this point, and I will say salams to Angela. Thank you for joining us. I'm getting feedback from you. Echo. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. it was funny. I was actually doing the math while you were talking, and I used to know the lady that lived downstairs, but I found out yesterday she moved out. But we live in a row of townhomes, and I know two that way and two that way. So I know four of my neighbors. I hope that's worth something, the families, you know. But you're right that this time was I'm just really taken back by all of it. And maybe it does have to change with me first. I don't know, because I can't believe that in 2018 we're sitting here carrying this conversation. I can't believe in 2018 that this happened. I can't believe that in 2018 we're having to review the history books of the 1930s and say, you can't do this because. And it really baffles my mind that we're here and that we're carrying this conversation, because there's so many hadiths that where the Prophet, peace be upon him, would sit and dine and break bread with people of different faiths. There's no compulsion in religion. He never forced anybody to do anything. So we're supposed to love our neighbors. And isn't that, I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was a video running around the internet yesterday, and I was actually on CNN this morning, of I was a minister, I think. And he stood up when Jeff Sessions was speaking, and he said, you know, he recited Matthew, which is about, you know, accepting those in at their time of need, and accepting, you know, when I was tired, you gave me rest, and when I was hungry, you fed me, and when I was naked, you clothed me. And he told Jeff Sessions that he needed to repent for what he was doing, and they had security remove him. And it really just, I don't understand what is going on. And I honestly, for the one of the very few times on this show, I'm going to hopefully disagree with you. I'm going to disagree with you in a hopeful manner because I don't want it to get worse. This is as bad as it gets. I can't see it getting worse. It just can't. I mean, it's this is ridiculous. And we should know our neighbors, whether they're Jewish or whether they're Sikh or whether they're Christian or whether they're no faith at all. We should know our neighbors.
Well, just to put that in perspective, Carl, sadly, how bad can it get? It could get much worse. We just had a newly elected president of Brazil, a right-wing extremist, disrespectful to women, abrupt and obnoxious in his ways. Within the last 48 hours, universities have been raided, classes have been stopped, books have been seized, history is being deleted. For what? Remember one thing, fellow friends. Never think, and especially Muslims, never feel just because you are 1.7 billion in the world that your ways or the ways of the world will kind of correlate and correspond with your ways. You're fooling yourself. There is no harmony unless it is built, and it's built organically, and it could die as fast as when frost touches the ground. It could die. So you need to not only build it, you need to continue nurturing it. You know why? Because once we go all out on who's right, who's better, which way is correct, a dictatorship of the highest degree will take place. I'm not talking about the government tonight. Don't think I'm talking about the government. It's where all people within the spheres of what they can do will start dictating to others of how things should be. And that's going to lead to a altercation, which could lead to all-out war with each other, because the level of disagreement has festered to a point where people are willing to pull out a gun, a knife, or a bomb because you don't agree. Many people don't agree with President Obama or with President Bush or with President Clinton or with President Trump, matter of fact. But there is no justification. There is no logical explanation to allow people to pursue this level of hatred and animosity by killing. How could that even be an option on table? What that pastor did, I applaud him. We should pray. He spoke about what he knows to do best. We should pray. But the fact that his prayer became a security concern is what I'm worried about. We should have enough respect for each other that we can talk about our differences. Carl, I disagree with you, and I'm going to tell you about it because I've heard you out now. But even if we don't agree, I'm not going to FedEx you a bomb tonight so that tomorrow morning when you're eating your Eggo waffles, it could be detonated and kill you and your family. It's obnoxious. And by the way, it wasn't FedEx. It was USPS, the United States Postal Service, that handled these parcels. So nice that they got to their destination. Trevor Noah's making joke out of that. And again, it's a sad reality that these things got that far. We have heightened level of security around our country. These type of things should not go unnoticed. It has put our postal service on alert. It has put our nation on alert. But remember one thing, fellow friends, if you believe that the way of goodness will persevere and prevail, where everyone is respected despite our inability to accept their ways, then we will quell the fear that's being administered. I'm going to say the word administered like a medical term. It's being administered into our society. Every breaking story, what happened in Pittsburgh brought fear to the synagogue across the street from the mosque. I went to the rabbi's place on Sunday. They were closed. They're supposed to have Sunday school. Only today I went and met with him and gave our condolences as a community and assured him that we as a community are here for you anything, anytime, call us. We will stand in front, protect your children, protect your facility. But something that happened hundreds of miles away has brought fear here. It's going to take more of these incidents to administer fear in all of us. We can't let it happen anymore. So when you reach out to your neighbors and they understand the goodness of what you have, and you understand the goodness that they have, that respect will make our world more secure. More machines, more guns, more armor, bulletproof desks, and bulletproof doors in schools is not gonna make anyone safer. Take my word to the bank.
Yeah, and on that note, before we come back to you, so we can start wrapping up, can we just all agree that armed security at places of worship is a really dumb idea? And that was one of the things that I was reading about this week, is that of all the places we go in life, of all the places that we visit, of all the places where we're comfortable and we go seeking relief and we go seeking fellowship and we go seeking each other, a house of worship, regardless of what it is, shouldn't be a place you go and you're in fear. A house of worship is where you go to be closer to your Creator, not worry about being killed. So I just really wanted to just get out there and just say that from my personal perspective, the idea, the concept that we need to put armed guards in places of worship is just a really stupid idea. And I hope that's not, I honestly hope that that's not a level we get to. And one personal note that I want to make, as I just banged my head against the microphone here, my mic broke earlier this week, and so I'm using a spare. So I don't know really how I sound, and I don't know how far or close I should be from it, or because it's not one I normally use. So if I'm off this evening, and I just hit it again, if I'm off this evening, that's why. Different mic, that's all. And back to you for final thoughts, sir.
Well, again, we thank everyone for tuning in. We here at Raw Islam want to spark discussion. Take that discussion home. Take it to your friends. Take it to your circle and have the discussion. Allow it to grow. Any questions you have, any thoughts you have, any suggestions you have, we are here to listen and help make that go viral from our ability through our network so that we can have a wholesome and healthy society. I'll be leaving, inshallah, to the Parliament of World Religions in Toronto later this week. I'll be there for 7 days. I'll be with an amazing team from Jennifer Lynn and other great people that we will be presenting at the Parliament of World Religions. It will be a gathering for over 10,000 religious leaders and representatives from across the world. We'll try to come to you live from Toronto, Canada next week. But until then, we thank you for tuning in. We thank you for sharing. We thank you for listening. We thank you for thinking. And we thank you for growing together as a community. Raw Islam, we're here to make that possible. And we thank you for allowing us to do so.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of another episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. I have been your co-host, BC Dodge, facilitating the conversation and the Facebook, the Twitter polls. And with that being said, make sure you follow Venn Network on Twitter so that you can take part in next week's poll, where we will again choose the topic of conversation. And because this is your show, we're here for you guys and we want you to enjoy the show. So you go, you vote in the poll on Twitter, and we come and we discuss those topics that you have chosen. If you have not been over to thevennetwork.org lately, you should definitely head over there. There are a bunch of really awesome shows on the website that you can subscribe, watch, listen to, and enjoy. And you can share them with your friends and family. Share them on Facebook. Put something on Facebook that's love and inclusive. That's what you should do. In fact, you know what? Everybody that listens to this, I'm challenging you to go to thevennetwork.org, pick one of the shows, and share it on Facebook this week. I think Imam Azhar has already done that. I think he shared this one on his Facebook, so he's good there.
How about we do this? If you use Twitter, let's do this. I want everyone to go reach out to their neighbors this week, take a picture with your neighbor, talk about your experience, and then on top of that, hashtag Raw Islam and the Venn Network so that we can show how the community is really putting things in action. On behalf of Carl and I, we thank you for your time. Sister Angela, Auntie Angela, Walaikum Salaam. We thank you all for listening. And Carl, you want to do the honors?
I wasn't done with my wrap-up yet, but sure.
Sorry.
Also, make sure while you're over at thevennetwork.org that you check out our Patreon page to help support the network, the shows, and the hosts. Make sure you check out the really cool Venn Network gear on Amazon.com. The link is on the website. And also, if you would like to support the network, make sure you head over to Patreon to support vennetwork.org over there. And that brings us to the end of the episode, and now I will do the honors. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we will say Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Muslims entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find them oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.